Hey, my friends. Welcome back once again to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. And also, we're going to call this the protein shake experiment of Monday morning. I think we're going to build a studio with a kitchen in it.
We have a kitchen over there. We have to move camera to show Ted making a shake by then.
We do have a studio over there. We've got a kitchen next door, right over here next to us, and I can always move a camera over there while I'm making my shake. And you know why I do this?
People would find that interesting to watch you make a protein shake.
I want everybody to realize that we use these products, and that's why I do this on the air.
Where'd my shaker go? While you're talking, I forgot mine in the kitchen that we don't have cameras in.
Okay, well, here we go. I'm making GHI. I am making collagen, and I'm making another purple stick for a Monday morning. It was a fun weekend. Had a great time in church. But I went on Saturday night. If you guys missed the service or did watch the service on Sunday, you said, where's Ted? I was basically at a racetrack over in Tampa. They had some private event over there, and a bunch of fancy cars went over there. I wanted to watch them run and make sure that nobody piled up over there. They didn't do it. Everybody was very, very careful.
Nobody piled up.
Oh, by the way, welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news, health research, and an unbelievable mess here at the table now with mixing up powders.
Yeah, you did. By the way, the purple stick on mine.
Do
you want that GHI in the way right there?
No,
that thing's quite large.
How should I say this? My congratulations on the four F-18 pilots that safely ejected from the air show and were saved. I just hope that wasn't some type of DEI. As far as the diversity.
Yeah, I don't function F-18s, bro.
I've seen it.
Not with F-18s.
I have.
Maybe the helicopters.
These planes got so close together that it actually looked like they locked up and hooked up, and they were spinning together. And I tell you what, whoever trained these guys on how to get out of that thing, they did a good job. Because I tell you what, all four got out safely, and they're not telling us who they were or basically how they were trained or any type of DEI involvement, I don't know.
Fighter jet pilots are some of the most conditioned athletes in the world, bro.
Yeah, but buddy, let me start over. Let's take 100 people who are going to be flying in an air show, the top supposedly pilots in the world. Okay, let's just take a look at them. And let's say, okay, we have to have a certain amount of diversity, equity, and inclusion, so these hundreds don't work. We're going to take some under the bottom 1,000. And we're going to train them because we're going to give them so much training.
They can't call, bro.
Yeah, they can't.
If you don't have a decent enough IQ, you can't.
If the general or the admiral, they have to have a decent IQ. If the general or the admiral signs, it's not about IQ on an airplane in most cases. It's about reflex conditioning, and of course, IQ does come into that. But the point is,
can't hesitate.
No, look at that helicopter that collided with that airplane.
That was a Black Hawk. That's not an F-18.
Yeah, but that was a DEI pilot.
Yeah, that was a DEI pilot. She's a moron. There was something else about that situation. Right when I told you guys that BlackRock had that contract, that DOD contract that rolled into that other company that was doing autonomous AI Black Hawk development so they could fly Black Hawks with no pilots available on them. That got developed a year before that, and suddenly this Black Hawk just flies into a American Airlines plane.
That's what I'm saying. If they're not trained right, or if they're not... here's a perfect example. You got 10 candidates to medical school, okay? They all basically have the same IQ. They all have the same MedCat test. They all have the same GPA. Okay? And then they basically say you have to have X amount of people in there who basically don't qualify with the same GPA. Remember, this happened for years. It was basically, affirmative action. And suddenly you have all these people coming in here now. They have, a 2.0 GPA. They did terrible on the MCATs, but they have to have them there because of skin color. Now, I'm not picking on you. If that one becomes a brain surgeon and the top guy from Harvard becomes a brain surgeon, he's super smart, who do you want cutting on your brain? I'm just asking. And so that's the problem that you run into. So I'm not saying that any of this happened with this job, this plane crash. I'm just saying that usually these guys, when they're that conditioned for these air shows, they don't allow themselves to hit each other. You saw that with Top Gun, Maverick. These were live video films of these planes flying together in unison. And they basically were great. Now, if you watch that one movie that Tom Cruise did, what was it called, American Made?
Yeah.
They had that one plane that I'll look up in a second, and it was a super fast the dual engine, basically piston engine, gasoline engine, Aerostar, and they crashed one of those, and somebody died on the set. That happened.
I didn't know that movie.
That plane is that. I remember I talked to my. I was thinking about buying one because they fly.
They're not that expensive.
They have what's called a really slippery wing. In other words, they don't recover very easily. if you put them into a stall, it's hard to get them to come back. And I remember I told my pilot friend of mine who's flown all kinds of planes, hundreds of different aircraft. I said, will you fly with me in an Aerostar? He goes, absolutely not. I will not do that. He said, that plane is unbelievably dangerous. It is a death trap. I went, whoa, that's a pretty strong statement from a guy who's got 20,000 hours. It really is. And he said, he won't fly with me. He has several other ones he wouldn't fly with me too. And he said, they're not reliable. And so when they start telling you that kind of stuff, you got to listen to them. That's why highly trained pilots who've got thousands of hours behind the stick, they usually don't make mistakes like this running into each other. But I don't know. Let's find out who the pilots are. By the way, TSA is, speaking about airplanes, TSA is now explaining a strange reasoning for permitting rotisserie chickens and carry-on luggage.
What?
Yeah.
Rotisserie.
This is our fluff story for the morning.
I got a fluff story here in a second. Yeah, okay. I also got some health stuff, too. I like rotisserie chicken.
The TSA has a strict ban on a number of items when going through airport security. But one thing they're surprisingly leaning on are rotisserie chickens. Who'd have thought? The TSA has explained that the bizarre reason plane passengers can pack rotisserie chickens into their carry-on luggage. I'll bring one next time I go. When traveling, people often take snacks to enjoy through the journey. But there are a few people out there who think an entire chicken would be permitted on the plane. Well, some snacks and drinks are allowed on board. It's fine to tuck in a big bit of poultry. Okay? Well, how about this? But rotisserie chickens, as many as you can fit in your carry-on. People were quick to react to the social media post expressing their thoughts on the rule. It comes as TSA issued a warning on how to avoid long lines as summer vacation travels pick up. One person said, I've never been a big fan of TSA, but this may turn around. Another person said, real one marinate their chickens with protein shakes. That's the way you get most of all the world. And he goes, it turns out rotisserie chickens are allowed. The third person jokingly said, can I use this tweet as evidence when you all detain me for chickens? As one who's been detained by TSA, I find that humorous. A fourth person frustratingly said, the logic is actually crazy. I had to check my carry-on last year when I flew internationally. It was out of the country for a month. I had medication, makeup, soap, and chafing powder that wouldn't fit in my Ziploc, but I could bring 80 chickens? This makes sense. Another man added, we live in a society where 4 ounces of vanilla whey is a felony, but you can take me aboard a Boeing 37 with an entire farm's worth of Costco chickens. This system is broken.
You know, that's about probably the most accurate comment I've heard here. I mean, one time I had, like, I think it was like some shampoo or some extra I had in my backpack, and they pull out, this is a 4 ounce bottle of shampoo. I'm like, I don't even know it's in my backpack. We have to throw it away. I'm like, okay, throw it away. I didn't know it was in there. Or how about the protein shake I left in there, 16-ounce protein shake that made me throw away.
Here's my favorite final sentence, a couple sentences. For the first time in almost 20 years, passengers don't need to take off their shoes during security checks at certain locations around the country. In other words, the chickens can wear their sandals. In a statement shared at the same time, TSA said it's always exploring new and innovative ways to enhance passenger experience. That's a total lie.
Oh, what the? Whatever.
And our strong security posture. Before this, only passengers who had a TSA pre-check were able to keep their shoes on during airport security checks. And I do like going through the security without having to take my shoes
off. Enhance your experience.
Oh, I got a funny story. I'm going through the TSA thing the other day, and they looked at me and they said, your Birkenstocks set off the alarm. I said, my Birkenstocks? They said, yeah.
A little buckle?
He says, you're wearing real Birkenstocks. Those are fakes. And he goes, the fake Birkenstocks, they don't set off the alarm because they're like, they have like plastic buckles. He told me, this guy's telling me this. And so luckily I had socks on just in case I had to take my shoes off.
Gosh,
and so I remember I got a TSA pre-check. So I had to put my sandals back through. Sure enough, they checked those. Then I walked back through without my sandals on, and I basically was cleared. And I thought to myself, we all know who wears real Birkenstocks now, don't we? That's funny.
That's funny. He said that, though. Yeah, I'll tell you, they were the real. That's ironic on here. Well, there's something that I was going to cover today. I brought it up briefly. Actually, we covered a big deal of it last week about the chemical cocktail herbicide mixtures that are coming together as far as that are basically causing enormous amount of gut damage and inflammation. I get calls, emails, friends that basically are referring more friends of issues with guts, and it almost becomes a daily incident now with me. I mean, pretty much almost every single day at some point, I'm dealing with a customer or somebody that's basically interested in trying to get their gut health back in check because they're having so many gut problems. And I told one of my buddies this weekend, known for years, that he was starting to have some issues again. And I told him, I said, listen, dude, I said, this isn't a difficult concept to understand. I said, what you have to do, and I said, I get it. This is just kind of my tip to you guys, my 2-minute Monday tip, and I got some other health stuff. I get it. It's difficult sometimes to avoid ultra-processed foods. I get it. Sometimes you want to eat some chips. Sometimes you want that cookie. Sometimes you want to eat some ice cream. I get it. However, what you have to start understanding is those certain types of items become significantly toxic when used repeatedly every single day, all day, and they start having a combining effect. And that's what goes in this article here about the different types of herbicides that are showing up in everything now and how much they're tied to inflammation. On Friday, I had the kids over to a friend's house for a big swim party, and they had a bunch of pizza that was there from Pizza Hut. Now, I don't eat pizza very often. And it's funny because I got two pieces, shreds, Pizza Hut. Okay. Well, what did I do? They ordered one that was all ground beef and cheese. I ate no bread with it. I scraped off the ground beef and the cheese and basically ate it by itself, kept it basically straight keto.
That's what I did
no
in
bread.
College.
Yeah. Right. Now, I'm not saying that was still a clean meal. Let me clarify. This is ground beef and cheese from Pizza Hut. But it really didn't bother me that much. I felt fine, still did it. Well, I talked to another person who was there, and they went kind of on a pizza bender. Did about five slices, crust and all.
Ooh, that's a lot.
Talked to him the next day.
That's a yiffat.
Talked to him next day. Austin, my gut's all inflamed. I feel horrible. My stomach's upset.
Well,
I
said, all that glyphosate.
Dude, you're not used to eating this, bro. You poison yourself with this stuff. I said, and I get it, it's pizza for the kids and all that, so you got to understand, when you start eating clean, your body starts getting detoxified, you eat this stuff, it has a very negative impact on your body. And this is what people do every single day, day in and day out. They wonder why they feel horrible all the time. Do your best to limit exposure to this stuff. And I get it. Like I said, sometimes you're somewhere, you're hungry, you're eating this, there's a snack, you want something, but you've got to limit your continual exposure. Once you cut majority of it out and you throw stuff in like the GHI cleanse, like he's mixed up, it's sitting right there and it's beautiful yellow
nasty
color. You could at least put some beet juice powder in if you're going to leave it on camera the whole time.
Oh,
or drink it.
I'll drink it.
That's one thing I do love about the beet juice powder. There's no way to make the GHI cleanse look pretty. We don't use artificial colors or sweeteners or any of it. However, the beet juice powder is kind of that, like, that extra that extra little color you can add to a shake that makes it have that red color with really significant health benefits. The organic beet juice crystals are amazing for that. Or if you're using the purple sticks, they're red all the time. And actually, they're kind of purple red. Best we could get out without using food coloring.
Well, the GHI is already so expensive. I'm not going to add organic beet powder to it. It's going to be too much.
I do
money.
Sometimes.
Well, no, I'm talking about making it.
Oh, to manufacture. Yeah, I'm mixing it together. But no, if we try to add that to it, that's the problem. That product's already a huge, huge cost to manufacture. And when you add the beet juice powder that we have, the crystals, they're already really expensive. So again, side note for that. Cut back on the ultra-processed foods. If you can't get them completely out of your diet or completely out all the time, try to limit your exposure to them to like one or two ultra-processed items a day, and then, you know, try to work your way down. Not seven or eight or nine ultra-processed items a day. That's when the inflammatory response really starts to build up, and that's when you start having a lot of gut problems, and then you have to start going on a fast to clean out. Also, too, in other news, this is something that I want to cover here. This is interesting. This is some bubble gum. So for the first time in history, we're going to have the UFC fight on the White House lawn. I can't come up with anything more gigantic circus.
But we don't have the Epstein list.
Yeah, here's for the first time in history, you know, UFC Freedom 250 is going to be on June 14th, the 250th anniversary of the United States and Trump's 80th birthday. We're going to have the UFC fight on the White House lawn with 5,000 handpicked people to come watch it. A photo of a rendering of it. I'm a huge fan of fighting. Love jiu-jitsu. Love kickboxing. But this is just tomfoolery. Like, this is just tomfoolery. Like, this is just shenanigans, and it's a perfect example. Well, yeah, and on top of that, like you said, where are the Epstein files? I mean, Do you understand how much security and money is going to go into this show?
Bread and circuses.
This is exactly what it is. It's bread and circus. On top of that, it's like, oh, by the way, we can make sure we have 4,000 people come to a live UFC fight on the White House lawn, but we can't seem to figure out who all the pedophiles were that were trafficking the little children that worked with Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. That don't worry about that one. We got a UFC fight coming. So we'll throw you some bread. We'll throw you some beer. We'll keep you subdued. You can stay nice and dumb. Maybe some MSG Doritos potato chips. And you can just drool on yourself while you watch other people that are really good at mixed martial arts. You know, thought I'd throw that out there. And also, too, this is a topic that I'm going to get into. And I want you guys, I need you. I very rarely ever ask for help. My numbers seem off on this, but they're not. I've triple-checked them, and I'm trying to figure out. I've got some guys in the diesel generator world that I've got some phone calls out to that I'm trying to figure out, because this is a topic that nobody has been discussing, right? So AI data centers are turning diesel generators into a boom larger than we've ever witnessed now. This is a video that somebody posted the other day, one of the AI data centers. These are all pretty much bus-sized, trailer-sized diesel generators that run whenever there's basically a lack of power to keep up with the overages on the AI data centers, or if the power grid goes out. And I had no idea, and I checked this, by the way, so this isn't like me coming up with a bunch of speculatory numbers. I looked up how many diesel generators do AI data centers utilize, and it said they're utilizing anywhere from basically a few dozen on small ones to up to 370. And one of the big ones that they have, apparently out in Virginia, they're saying now they propose to scale up to 370 3.25 megawatt generators to handle the multi-gigawatt power load. Now, 370 bus-sized generators. You guys, this isn't me, like, speculating. They're blatantly telling you this. There's multiple articles that are going to Latitude Media, Lincoln Institute of Land Policy, Better Data Center Project. You can go into all these now and look at what's going on. There's another article here. Using diesel generators to power the AI revolution will kill hundreds of Americans a year. Now, I'm not the first one that's going to throw out fear porn. Oh, my gosh, diesel generators, how horrible. I'm not. I have a propane generator. I drive a diesel truck. So lest you think I'm not going to sit here and be some type of hypocrite. However, the question must be asked. A massive AI data center that needs 370 3.25 megawatt generators, they're diesel. How much diesel does those generators burn? And I pulled it up. A 3.25 megawatt diesel generator burns between 160 to 230 gallons of diesel fuel per hour at 75% load. At 100% load, the range jumps to 350 gallons per hour. Now, I understand that most of these diesel generators allegedly are only going to be used in case of emergency. But then the million-dollar question brings about, and I thought my numbers were off, but my numbers weren't off, and I rechecked them. If you've got 230 gallons per hour per 3.25 megawatt diesel generator, at 370 diesel generators at 230 gallons per hour, that's 85,000 gallons of diesel. Right? That's the math. That's where my math came up. That's what math is here. Where in the world are they getting that much diesel fuel from? That's my million-dollar question. How do you have a system that's going to be burning that? And then the next million-dollar question goes, how in the world is that? That's one data center, by the way. One data center that goes off-grid because the power goes out. Now, the other part about this is they said the diesel generators may be being used as a supplementary power if the grid can't handle everything that's going on. So is it rules for thee and not for me? Again, example, we're being told, you know, don't eat meat. It's bad for the environment. The cows fart. It's killing everybody. Don't drive your car because it's too polluted because it gets 50 miles a gallon now. But we've got diesel generators burning 230 gallons per hour per diesel generator.
And they don't have DPFs on them.
No, a lot of them are tier two. They're unbelievably toxic because they're not for on-road usage. So they don't have the same requirements that DOT and EPA puts on vehicles. So why is it, and I'm asking you guys this, the research, if you guys are in this industry, why is it and how is it that these AI data centers are getting this level permitting for this many diesel generators?
How do they store that much fuel, Austin?
Right. There's no way a diesel, these generators are there for backup power, right? System goes out. Well, if they burn that much diesel fuel, I mean, even if you're only talking about half the amount of gallons, 160, you're talking about 50,000 gallons per hour. Then on half the generators, 150 generators, dude, you're still talking tens of thousands of diesel fuel gallons per hour. And one AI data center goes out. Now, I'm no mathematician with the EPA, but I can tell you right now, that's not real environmental friendly on top of the 5 million gallons of water that it's utilizing per day.
Look at Amazon running diesel generators to charge their vehicles.
Their vehicles. They're like, oh, yeah. That's the boon.
And look at the prices of diesel fuel.
That's exactly what I was just about to get at. Is it because these groups that are putting these generators and these AI systems together are buying up huge contracts of diesel fuel right now? And Iran... Iran is the excuse that diesel fuel's going up exponentially? Because I told you guys, I said, how in the world did diesel go up so fast? Speculators, of course, possibly. But where's all this diesel fuel coming from to power these diesel generators?
I just got a phone call or text from a friend of mine. That's why I was looking it up here a second ago. And he basically was making about $30, and I'm not going to mention any names, running heavy equipment. That's about the going rate.
Yep.
And they've contacted him now through his union to work on an AI data center.
Oh.
Okay, now listen to this. Just got a call from the union today, and I accepted the dispatch, working on the data center in Washington, Wisconsin, 56 an hour, $900 per week in per diem.
Per diem?
Per diem's not taxed.
Right.
Running equipment again. Not proud of the job. I can't argue with the wage. 56 an hour, 900 a week per diem. Well, you figure 40, that's $2,000 a night. That's $2,000 a week plus nine. That's $3,000 a week. That's $150,000
a year. Yeah, $3,000 a week, yeah.
That's over $150,000 a year. And I'm happy for him. He's got a good job. But think about the money they're throwing at these data centers.
No, I know. No, it's a gold rush right now.
Think about the diesel generators, the diesel fuel. And remember, there's a reason they're in such a rush to get this done.
Yep.
They've got to control the internet. They've got to control your heart, your mind, your thoughts. As Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be upon my return, when every thought of every man was evil all of the time. Guys, they're really, really desperate to cover up the Epstein files. They don't want you to realize how sick and perverted they are in these satanic rituals that they do against these children. They don't want you to understand it, because even the most callous person here, you know, would realize something's wrong. You know, when we were in St. Louis a few months ago, and we were up there visiting a friend of ours, and we got in that Uber, and there was this guy actually driving the cab who was an absolute, I hate to say it, he's an absolute moron. And we were talking to him, and I started talking about the children and Jeffrey Epstein, and he got real quiet. He goes, you know, that's really, really wrong what they're doing with that.
Yeah.
Even he, with his unbelievable delusional life that he was living, was aware of the fact that when you start eating children, it's not cool. There's a nightmare associated with that. And so they're covering all of this up, Austin. That's why they're doing all this
exactly
stuff.
Right.
It's constant, constant, constant obfuscation. And the sad part about it is even people that were skeptical are now starting to realize there's something seriously wrong with what they're doing.
And here's the thing, too, like you said. I mean, these diesel generators. I mean, here's a Cummins generator. This is a 2,000 kW. So it's a 2GW. It's $803,000. You got to think how much money is going to these AI data centers between the lining with the silver. Now silver went up through the roof. Now they're trying to find extra options for that. You got 300 of these generators. I mean, the amount of cash that's being thrown of these. And this is what my buddy told me in Orlando. He said, there's no return on these AI data centers in any reasonable amount of time. He goes, the amount of money that goes into these things and the cost to operate them shows no significant ROI anytime soon. So why is it they're doing this? Is it the long pull, or is it because this is what the tech data centers are being told what to do? I mean, the amount of money that's going in just in the diesel generator aspect of it. Here's another article right here. I'm going into it. It talks about basically how these diesel generators are becoming a boom. The data center boom is a diesel generator boom. In just 5 years, diesel generator capacity at data centers tripled. I mean, talking generators, these things are $700,000-$800,000 per piece. And then here's the million-dollar question. This is the one I want to finish with on this topic, and I'm going to hand it to him for a second. This is an article that came out, and I thought it was speculatory. I thought it was fear porn. It's not. I verified on 5 different articles, and I've looked out there on Lake Tahoe. Lake Tahoe now, the city, which is basically a beautiful area out there.
We've been there.
Been there. Beautiful area. The main energy company that feeds Lake Tahoe, which has about 50,000 residences. Sorry for all the pop-ups. I always love it when you go to access something.
Yeah, I gave you that link that day about doing this without pop-ups.
No, all the
Alex,
ones.
Alex gave it to me.
No, there's multiple ones on here that still doesn't work on. The one on here says nearly 50,000 Lake Tahoe residents have to find new power source after their energy source is directing all lines to the data center.
Whoa.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's what I said.
Lake Tahoe, that's some serious money there.
They're cutting off Lake Tahoe for power by May 2027.
You know,
isn't speculative.
That lake is like 800 feet deep.
What's happened is now they basically said that Lake Tahoe doesn't know where their power is going to come from after the next ski season, because 49,000 residents basically don't have the ability to get power from there anymore now, they're saying. They said energy suppliers have now abandoned Lake Tahoe. The California-based Liberty Utilities
I have to see this. You should
verify this. I looked this up. Nevada-based energy company NV Energy, which basically powers about 80% of Lake Tahoe, said that they will stop providing power to Lake Tahoe region by May 2027, according to extensive reporting by Fortune magazine.
So that's only a year.
The resultant Nevada utility company saying it needs the power to capacity the new data center is being put in, and essentially the new data center is basically subbing out the entire power grid from NV Energy, meaning they're basically buying it. They're leasing the power. They're leasing the NV Center, Energy Center. It'd be like a company coming in and leasing TECO and saying, we're basically going to buy you out, but we're not going to buy you out.
This sounds like BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard.
Here's the problem that I have with this. Somebody posted this the other day.
Bloodline families.
The data center overload.
Fallen angels.
May be intended to break the grid. Emergency order could permit unregulated private ownership, giving tech billionaires direct control of electric distribution. I don't think this post is far off. This is complete speculation on my part, but it's got some facts behind it. It appears, in my opinion, because I can guarantee you this thing with NV Energy and Lake Tahoe, this is not going to be the only time this happens. I personally think what's going to start happening is you're going to start having the vast majority of the end user of these power systems are going to be the AI data centers. Mm. They're going to come in and say, by the way, we buy 60% of your power. We're going to basically sub out your whole center. We bring in enough money, we're basically going to take it over. And we're going to pick and choose who gets power, and then we're going to basically pick and choose who we want to essentially screw over with power rates and basically energy rates on here. I don't think I'm that far-fetched on that, guys. The fact that you have NV Energy coming out now and saying, basically, you got a year Lake Tahoe to figure out where the power's going from. Now, there's a lot of money down there in that area. And so I'm sure there's going to be some pushback with this. But my topic on this and my question on this is, at what degree do these AI data centers have carte blanche immunity to do anything they want? This is what happened down in Lake Okeechobee, why they finally, the residents finally had enough. There were hundreds of them showing up. We've been pushing and pushing and pushing. And finally, those county commissioners stepped out of it. These AI data centers that are coming in, and they're getting permits from EPA that are taking days, not years. They're getting basically, you know, aspects from permits from SwiftMud. They're not even having to do to fight anything. They're not even having to do basically environmental impact research on these things.
Mm. I just had a thought.
Well, no. Tell me what you're thinking about this, because this whole thing's starting to spiderweb way bigger than just AI.
This thing's getting dark. The reality is that, you know, we live in a virtually created reality as it is in a holographic physics universe.
With energy and frequency.
Well, no, we are, because, you know, we know what happened with, you know, string theory and what they've told us, and I've talked about this in details. We're basically in a giant energy wave. They're putting enough data and enough power through these things. They can create an artificial reality if they want to.
They can, absolutely.
Now, wait a minute. You heard what I just said.
Yeah.
I mean, they've already given us the goggles to wear.
Yeah. That's just the entry level.
You know, this we're talking Matrix here.
Yeah.
You're listening to me? We turn into a bunch of doggone D-cell batteries, and we end up basically living in an artificial generated reality. I mean, this is something's really wrong here, guys. This is what they do with the pyramids, and this is the same thing they're doing now. They're building these things everywhere, and then you're talking about creating an energy field using all that water. That's going to be unsustainable from a planetary standpoint.
Correct.
But yet they care about whether or not you drive a car that's getting 50 miles per gallon. Okay? They don't want you driving that. They don't want you driving at all. They want you living in a smart city and walking back and forth through the grocery store.
Well, no, you just said something about energy. This is the one out in Utah. The massive AI data center in Box Elder County, Utah, is going to require up to 9 gigawatts of power. This is more than double the entire state of Utah's current electricity consumption.
Think about that. The
entire state of Utah, this one AI data center is going to use 2.5 times the amount of power the entire state uses every year.
Something's wrong. This doesn't
make sense.
No.
This isn't to make sure you got a better AI rendering for your new remodel of your house.
No, I think they may be trying to hack physical reality.
Yes.
There's something really wrong here, guys.
Because the amount of water they're burning, mm-hmm. the amount of power, and the fact that they're willing to spend hundreds of millions of dollars.
Trillions.
No, just in diesel generators to make sure it never goes offline.
You know, Jim Mars said something. In fact, Mancow sent me this morning, and I'm going to read it to you. Rule by Sigrist, the author Jim Mars, walked me through the many theories step by step, and after guiding me for years, he told me that we are all completely controlled by space aliens. That's Fallen Angels, by the way. It was as if a loud concussion bomb went off of my psyche. It seemed insane to me, too big to comprehend. But reflecting on the eugenics of COVID, the cannibalism of children by our leaders and celebrities, the deliberate destruction of our cultures, the sinister new massive data centers, he's mentioning it too, the replacement of humanity by robots and artificial intelligence, the fact that through abortion we've learned that women are way more bloodthirsty than men, and abortion may be, of course, a satanic offering to Baal, the purposeful burning of Maui and the Pacific Palisades, promoting any kind of sex that doesn't lead to children, this is the homosexuality agenda, the purposeful watering down of eugenics with the Saharan individuals that are 30 IQ points lower than the locals being pushed into every neighborhood. If there's one thing that all of these earth-controlling families have in common, is the bloodline families, is they care more about bloodlines than anything else since the beginning of history. And they really like the bloodline families because they're easier to possess from the other dimensions. Thought I'd mention that because the DNA is similar. It's all too sinister for this mortal to grasp. I literally got sick from talking about it on the radio. It's so demonic. Is it space aliens? I think it's both. What am I doing about it? Having fun. From exorcisms that I have witnessed or read about, or how I know that evil hates it, when we kid it, or have laughter, happiness is rebellion against evil. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I'll be glad in it. There's nothing at the bottom of this rabbit hole but darkness. I choose not to live there. He says, I dabble, but I don't dive. And then he quotes Jim Morrison from The Doors. You're all a bunch of slaves. How long do you think it's going to last? How long are you going to let them push you around? I tell you this, I'm going to get my kicks before the whole house goes up in flames. Wow. And now think about this for a second. This is why we have to maintain faith in Christ Jesus. This is why we have to pray every day. This is why we have to realize that this is the day that I have, that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and glad be glad in it. And greater is he who is in me than he who is in the earth. Because these entities have been here for a long, long time. They did the same thing in Genesis chapter 6, and God had enough. He flooded the planet, split the continents apart, turned off the AI data centers, which we would call pyramids today, so the energy fields wouldn't work. I mean, there's entire cities underneath the pyramids we're finding out now. Huge megalopolis underneath the pyramids in Egypt, and nobody understands why they're there. They were here before, because remember, there's nothing new under the sun. There's not. This stuff has been here for a long, long time. That's what we have to realize, like it says in Proverbs and like it says in Ecclesiastes. And I realize that Solomon had some serious problems. I got that. But he wrote some good stuff, you know, before he started having all these issues, primarily with foreign wives who dragged him into a ditch, worshiping other gods and other idols. Just thought I'd mention that. He says the sole purpose of man is the whole sole purpose of a human being is to serve God and obey his commandments. And we need to realize that when we have that relationship with God and with Christ, we want to do what God wants us to do. We want to be one with him and the Holy Spirit. We want to pray on an ongoing basis. We want to realize that we can do all things through Christ. Keep your hearts and minds in Jesus all the days of your life. Remember, guys, we're not here as earthlings, okay? We're just passing through. It's like that movie Riddick, when they take him into that crematorium, that prison. That's, you know, that basically is a meteorite out in the middle of space. It gets hot and cold, and they keep them locked up underneath. And he said, are you a convict or are you an inmate? He goes, I'm neither. I'm just passing through. That's all we're doing. We're just passing through. Always remember that. Enjoy your life. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your relationship with God. And remember that if you stay with the right people and you pray the right things, God's going to bless you in this life. He's going to protect you and take care of you all the days of your life. Austin, what do you think?
Well said. You're exactly right. Because this whole thing now is turning.
It's getting dark.
It's getting dark. But he said this, though. It's almost becoming laughably obscene. It's almost becoming like a caricature.
Well, no. See, the problem is when you laugh at these entities, they get really mad.
Right. But if you follow me what I'm saying
here. Because you see them and see what they're doing.
The numbers don't even make sense from a logistical standpoint. They're saying, too, if these generators are natural gas, right? So say they put in these 2,500 or 2.5 gigawatt natural gas generator.
Well, they could run pipelines to them.
They
run
22,000 cubic feet of natural gas per hour for a load. You got 300. Do you understand the pipeline you got
to
put in? How much natural gas
you're
going to consume?
You're going to probably run an 18-inch pipeline.
Yeah, it's going to be a pipeline. It's going to feed a city. Is what it is. And so again, who's going to supply that much natural gas these facilities if they all go off power grid at one time?
You know, you think about it for a second. What they're doing?
It's almost laughable.
Let's stop for one second here. Okay, let's just step it back. Remember during COVID, they built all these 5G,
yep.
6G towers everywhere. They popped up literally over the weekend.
Off grid, man. Nobody even knew they were going up.
They were just going up. They just popped up. And remember, nobody talked about it because the whole news site was shut down.
Here's the funny thing. Dexter told me when that happened. He said, do you remember hearing about we were having transformer shortages?
Mm-hmm.
He goes, we weren't having transformer shortages. He goes, we were having massive buy-ups from companies who are taking delivery of all basically these substations.
They run these giant copper wires into these doggone 5G.
COVID made a shortage of everything. It wasn't COVID. He goes, the contractors took delivery of everything.
I mean, so that means they could amp those things up beyond
way
belief.
Up.
So,
way up.
So when they what happens when they crank this stuff all up in unison? Do we lose our physical reality? Are we so overwhelmed mentally that we can't even think anymore? We have deluged into an alternative reality. CERN was a nightmare from hell from the beginning when they did this. It was because they basically wanted to open up,
the God particle
and open up the God particle. And that's what they told us it wasn't. They were opening up wormholes to allow these entities to come into our dimension. That's what they were doing.
What? The amount of power that these things are consuming. Do you think they're trying to set up some type of wormhole systems with these AI data centers all across the country?
Think about it for a second.
How much energy did it? Remember, that's the thing about CERN. CERN uses an insane amount of power.
You think about it. I forgot which one it was. It was Star Trek Voyager, the one that had 7 of 9 on it. She rescued that whole
show. Okay, I remember saying that, yep.
And they had this. They went into an interdimensional rift.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they had these incredibly nasty-looking species, aliens running around, wanting to eat and kill everything. It was crazy. And then they had to get out of the rift. They had to get out of that dimension. And, and what are we opening up? And what portals are we opening up? And why are they telling us things like this on that station, that show from 30 years ago? And it's all so strange to me when you see these things that broadcast like Terminator, when you've got Cyberdyne, when they have all of these AI things running around, AI centers everywhere running everything. They have to tell you what they're going to do. Otherwise, the karma they believe on that's what they call it, on the other side of the veil is so bad for them. They've got to let you find out what they're going to do in advance.
Because none of this stuff is adding up from a mass standpoint. You can't be this stupid as far as in these industries to believe that essentially this is going to have positive outcomes on the backside. I mean, Utah data center is going to use more power than 2.5 times the entire state. Yeah, I mean, Lake Tahoe's getting cut off from their own power supply now. They got to find a new.
I don't believe that'll happen.
I believe exactly what it's doing. Mm-hmm. They're going to do exactly what I just called it out on. They're going to start having the AI data centers are going to pick and choose how much power people get. They're going to.
They've already done that. Remember, they could turn your power off already.
Yeah, right.
Have a smart meter.
That's from the company, though. That's from the electrical company. I believe that these AI data centers and these tech companies are going to eventually take over a bunch of the electrical grids. They're going to take over companies like Tyco and stuff like that. And what we're going to do is that way they can come in and say, we have to increase your power cost now. Now your electric bill is not $600. Now it's going to be $1,200 a month. Because, we're doing AI to protect you. It's for your safety and convenience, guys. Always remember that. Secondly, I want to come another article here. Someone change. You guys write me on that. I want your feedback on it, especially when it comes to diesel generators, natural gas generators, and how much consumption these things are going to use. It's not even feasible on any type of long-term scale because they're saying that they're putting in these diesel generators in the event of a power surge or backup or more usage that they need. How are we going to feed these things and how much power are these going to consume on that end? The water supply, we already know, the electrical grid. Now we're talking natural gas pipelines or diesel. I mean, 80,000 gallons of diesel an hour. If they got 320 of these or 370 of these 3.25 gigawatt diesel generators running all the time, at least for an hour or two, insane amount of power usage. Now, another topic here I wanted to cover is this is interesting, very interesting. And it talks about how essentially this hantavirus, whether or not this thing is real, whether or not, I mean, we know the hantavirus is a real thing. The media is covering it like they want to turn it into another COVID. I can't really determine whether or not this is being used as a distraction to keep people talking about this giant fiasco in Iran. And now that Lebanon is basically, the IDF has gone over north of the river now. North of the river. They've come in now and said they're going in to put another buffer zone even higher north now in Lebanon. This is a land grab, and it's basically the most simplest example, and nobody even wants to address it. I mean, Russia did this with Ukraine, and all hell broke loose for the last 5 years. The giant boondoggle. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe they're doing this. But now IDF does it to Lebanon, and it's apparently completely okay. Anyways, I digress. We just don't need to be paying for it. It says key hantavirus countdown starts this week, says John Campbell, PhD, says the next several weeks will determine whether this hantavirus outbreak linked to the cruise spreads beyond its passengers and crew, or essentially this thing is overhyped. He says, outlined key dates from today through the end of June will reveal whether additional cases emerge. At the moment, there's no evidence the virus has spread beyond the confines of the ship. However, that's to be seen if they want this to expand. And essentially what we saw, and we have to understand this, This is the narrative that they're telling us right now, right? Kind of like we had somebody at a wet market in China go and eat a bat, and they caught COVID. We're well aware now from every single findings that was a complete and total lie, that this thing was weaponized and then basically was given over to Wuhan and they weaponized it again. And essentially, from what's happened and what's released, this thing was intentionally leaked. They said it was a lab leak accidental. Some said it was intentional. I don't believe for one second any of that was accidental. We saw that with basically the Operation 201 that they tested in 2019. So, again, this is why I've told everybody, this is why you have to constantly keep your body functioning properly. You've got to keep your inflammation response down and cut the food out of your diet and get the GHI cleanse in. You've got to stay on a regular dose of vitamin C, D3, and zinc. And I'm not saying this to try to fluff everybody up because of hantavirus. I'm saying this because the stronger your immune system is, if you're exposed to any virus, not just this one, your body's able to fight it off. Dad's talked about it in detail on the macrophage with D3.
That's right.
When you don't have adequate D3, your body can't fight off certain
Well, the macrophage, the white blood cells can't turn on. The immune system can't fight.
Explain, for everybody that's new, explain it very briefly for everybody for why D3 is so important.
I don't have a thing on my, okay, a little string on here anymore. I can use this one. Okay, this is a white blood cell. Okay, you know, and so what it's supposed to do is when it sees a cancer cell, it's supposed to go kill it.
Right.
Right. Now, on the bottom of this white blood cell, it's like a little submarine in your body. It's like, you know, Voyager, you're going into the body, right? And there's two little molecules, little sugar molecules on the bottom of this. And the only way they can be flipped on, they got to turn on, both of them, is through basically D3. So this thing won't work if it doesn't have D3. It can't work.
It can't turn on.
It cannot do it. And here's why. It can't be on all the time because the body doesn't want to ravage healthy cells. It's got to be turned on when the body needs it. That's how smart God made us. Now, if it doesn't have the D3 to turn on these cells, this macrophage, it releases like a little flare gun out here, and it throws out a bunch of cytokines.
Pops flares.
It's like pops flares. There you go, pops flares. And what happens, those are inflammation, and they tell all the other macrophages to come. Okay. So they all come running over, but they don't have any D3 either. Guess what? They pop flares too.
Ooh.
And so that's an emergency response to the body, causes massive swelling and tissue, you know, integration with water, which causes the lungs to fill with fluid. That's what happens with pneumonia. And that's why more people died in World War I from pneumonia than from the swine flu. And people don't realize that because that's what happens. The lungs fill with fluid.
Interesting.
And so that's why this little submarine is fuel to kill the bad things in your body. Has to be D3. That's all it does. Nothing else works. And so if you don't have that, it's going to pop flares. It's caused all kinds of cytokines and inflammation in the body. That's why it's so important that you keep your D3 monitored. So without that D3, you can't do it. But what have they done? You got to wear sunscreen.
Yeah.
You got to carry an umbrella in the sun. You got to wear long sleeves. But the reality is we know the sun can cause skin damage. So what are we going to say? You got to take D3K2. I can say that.
Yeah.
You got to have yourself healthy. And if your immune system say, why do you think we have so many cancers? And I've asked so many cancer patients, 100 of them at least, what are your D3 levels? And they, not one of them knew that before I asked them to check it.
From a speculatory standpoint, do you think it's just negligent from the PhDs, or do you think some of these doctors intentionally don't test for D3?
It's negligent. I don't think they know about it.
I
tell you what, it's like one time I was riding in a car. This is 30 years ago. And I was listening to a radio show. I was back in a taxi.
Yeah.
I'm sitting back in a taxi. And he's got a podcast on or a talk show on or whatever.
Back then,
a talk show. And he's got this oncologist on there. And he's talking about cancer. And he goes, well, there's a lot of things about cancer. And he says, my opinion, you should never biopsy a cancer cell or a tumor mass. And I told the guy, turn that up. So he turns it up. And he goes, here's the problem. He goes, it's kind of like having an aerosol can of gas, of spray can.
Spray paint.
Okay. Spray paint, okay? You spray it, it sprays the paint out. He goes, what the body does, it encapsulates this cancer cell and creates a sheath around it, kind of like this. And he goes, it tries to isolate it so it won't spread. And he goes, it's like a can of spray paint. He goes, you poke a nail in it, it's going to spray paint everywhere. So it's going to spray cancer cells everywhere.
Including a biopsy in it.
Right, that's biopsying a tumor. And that's why I say to people, if you have a breast tumor and they want to biopsy it, say, no, let's just remove the lump. Just do a lumpectomy. Make sure you take the lump out. You go, well, why would you do that? Well, you always check that and see if it's got cancer in it. But why would you want to pop the cell open and spread this stuff? I had a friend of mine. His name was Howard. I mean, he was my surrogate dad. He raised me. I remember he came to my mom's bar one day, and I'm talking to him. And, you know, he had cancer. He had gotten over the cancer. And then all of a sudden, they found a nodule on his lung. And I told him, I said, whatever you do, just do an MRI or a CAT scan or whatever and monitor it.
Yeah.
don't do a biopsy. You'll spread it. And he looked at me and goes, well, it's too late. I had a biopsy last week. He said it didn't hurt at all when they did it. I said, okay. 6 weeks later, we were buried him.
Jeez.
Within 4 weeks, he went back to the doctors, and he was basically filled with cancer. He had nodules all over his body. It spread everywhere.
It spread everywhere.
Because the lungs are that vascular, they're pumping it everywhere. And I thought to myself, this is crazy. It may have been 6 weeks. It may have been a couple, 3 or 4 months. I can't remember. It's been so long ago. But it was within a few months he died. And the crazy part about this is, when you think about it, how many times have you been told by your doctor not to biopsy something? They always say,
always
biopsy.
Say always
well, because,
biopsy.
Because it's another medical test.
Yeah.
They get paid for the biopsy. It's just, if you got a half-inch lump in your breast, just say, just remove it. Well, I don't want to do that. We got a biopsy first. No, just remove it. Well, I don't want to remove it. I want to buy it. No, just remove it. And now I'm not giving you medical advice. I'm telling you to get multiple opinions before you do all that stuff. But ask these questions. Why would you do that? Isn't it kind of like an aerosol can full of paint? Why do you want to release it? He'll probably look at you like you're some kind of wacko. What do you mean by that? Oh, that's not true. And he darn sure knows it's true if he's done it enough.
Yeah.
But the problem is, it's called medical procedure. See, if they don't do it a certain way, they can be sued.
This is what they did in 2020 during that crazy time we had, mm-hmm. where they went in and they basically redirected standard of care for the hospitals. And they said, it doesn't matter what happens. If somebody comes in and their PCR tests positive for COVID, you immediately put them on remdesivir intravenously. They did it. I had a customer that was transported. This is a crazy photo. And I still have it on my old computer. And he's
sitting
in pallets, close-up photos. But then he blurred out the bill of lading and stuff on it. They were pallets of remdesivir. And he said, I've never seen this much stuff. He goes, I've been transporting medical equipment for the last 20 years. He goes, I've heard of remdesivir. He goes, it would come in like maybe a case lot occasionally. Maybe a case lot occasionally. They'd have some on staff for like some type of weird medical emergency. He goes, we're dropping 6 and 7 pallets off a week to some of these hospitals. Pallets. And he showed me one drop off, and it was pallet, all of them remdesivir listed. And it wasn't a joke. It wasn't AI.
That was an Ebola drug they had to stop using. Correct. Because it was destroying organs within 5 days.
It was basically, they left it shelved on the market for extreme dire viral infection emergency that was like, you can't figure out what to do. This virus is spreading in somebody.
It liquefies
it's
organs.
It's unknown. We can't figure it out. So we're going to try, basically, remdesivir, last ditch resort before the person dies. That's what they left it on the shelf for, because they couldn't get it basically approved for any other use.
And Fauci had a big investment in it.
Fauci had a huge investment in it, basically, with GlaxoSmithKline. They came in and redirected it and repurposed it without – this is the crazy part. They never did a single clinical trial on COVID with it. None. They said, oh, well, in theory, it's an antiviral. COVID is a viral aspect. We're going to basically automatically assume as a theory remdesivir will work to kill COVID. That's what they said. So we're repurposing it now as standard of care for every COVID patient.
Remember, PCR. The hospitals were getting like $100,000 a patient.
Anywhere. And again, this is, I'm not quoting anybody specifically, but I was told multiple hospitals anywhere between $30,000 to $100,000 per COVID death, depending on the standard of care.
Oh, by the way, we have to loosen this up a little bit. Species 8472 was on the Voyager program. I just looked it up.
Is that the nasty one?
No. This is the
842.
This is the one that was in interdimensional fluid space, and the Borg got there and tried to assimilate them. They started killing all the Borg.
The Borg.
The Borg were bad.
The Borg. They killed the Borg.
So the Borg ran away from these guys. Species. So how do we know we're not bringing species 8472 or something of the equivalent in from CERN?
This much power is coming with AI.
Oh, and one more story.
Yeah,
we were talking about Lake Tahoe.
Yeah.
We were walking the beach, Lake Tahoe. I was there with your mom. I think you were running around being wild somewhere.
Oh, I was a kid.
You were a kid. And some guy walks up to me and says, hey, how are you doing? Starts talking to us. Just wants to be friends with us. I said, okay. So I'm talking to him. He goes, can you buy me a six-pack of beer? You remember this?
No, I don't.
Can you buy me a six-pack of beer? I'm like, how old are you? Well, I'm 17. I said, dude. I said, no, I'm not going to contribute to the delinquency of a minor. Get arrested in Lake Tahoe. And the answer is no. Well, I won't tell anybody. I'll give you the money up front. I'm like, no.
Go make $2. Like, okay.
But I just thought I'd remember that. Because Tahoe's a big party town. And yeah. They start up young out there.
Well, apparently somebody in Lake Tahoe has basically not gotten the nod from Big Tech.
Here's the problem with Lake Tahoe. There's a bunch of mob families out there. They just drop those bodies in the lake because it's 800 feet deep. You can't drag the lake.
You can't drag it. You can't sub it.
And if you remember the one Godfather, they were on Lake Tahoe and they shot their one kid brother.
That was Lake Tahoe?
That was Lake Tahoe.
I didn't realize that.
You take them out in the middle, drop them off 800 feet deep, and there ain't no dragon.
Well, that's why I thought to myself when I saw that article with Lake Tahoe, it made me wonder.
They're going to make some people really upset at Lake Tahoe.
No, but it's almost like, you know, a certain group that always does their thing all the time that everybody knows about, including invading other countries that we don't need to invade. It's almost like they got mad at somebody at Lake Tahoe, and this is their way of like, oh, by the way, we're cutting power off by May 2027.
You know, those guys out there have so much money. They'll just start their own generator system. It won't make any difference.
They probably will.
It'll be quick, though, if they have to do it. And somebody may come in and veto this stuff. Remember, these utility companies are heavily regulated.
They should be because of this.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, they had a big thing at the mall, at the mall, you know, the National Mall today, which is that big outdoor lawn area in D.C., at a federally funded prayer event on the National Mall today, MAGA radio host, I'm not going to mention his name because I'm not going to promote him, told thousands of Christians that God spent two centuries waiting to raise up Donald Trump to build a ballroom.
Are you kidding me right now?
His verbatim words. Here they are. It's hard to believe that it would take two centuries for the Lord to raise up a great man to bring that ballroom finally to stand where it needs to stand. It's extraordinarily powerful. Extraordinary. We had only to wait 200 years. The crowd cheered. Now, you know, I'm going to sit here and I'm just going to joke for a second and say, what is wrong with these Zionists?
Gosh.
Unbelievable. I mean, how in the world? I mean, you guys, but I'll tell you what, the entities that run the planet did a phenomenal job bringing Samuel Untermyer in with the Scofield Reference Bible over 100 years ago to basically come in, you know, with the people that they did, you know, Untermyer and Samuel, and, you know, the Scofield Reference Bible, and pushing it through the Oxford Press to permeate. Remember, a little bit of leaven works its way through the whole loaf. With yeast. If you put yeast into a little, you know, dough, it'll make the whole loaf rise. And that's what it's done. It's completely and totally confused the minds of these evangelicals to the point on July the 4th, they'll put these flags up in the front of the church from the country with little hats.
We're
on YouTube now. Inside the church, and say if it wasn't for this country with the little hats, the United States would not be here. I got a joke for you.
Yeah, okay? It was there.
This was 1947 when all this happened. We were here already for about 200 years.
give or take a few years.
And now I can say this: without the United States, that country with the little hats, it wouldn't be there. I can say that.
That's
because of the Scofield Reference Bible. What's your next story?
There's one last story. This is more of a health discussion. So we're keeping the show light on here today. Actually, you know what? I got one more minute left. There's an article that I had Harrison write for me on collagen peptides that I'm going to go on a little bit more precise look at skin, joint, and bone health and how specifically it works. But
Now, do you know why we use three separate collagen peptides in here as far as the different types of collagen?
I will. I'll cover it in a second. However,
I was asked that the other day.
I wanted to finish because since we talked about this. This is the new story, last bubblegum. Tiny AI data centers may be coming into your homes of America in the future.
From tiny little hats.
Uh-huh. Tiny. It says, putting data centers in high individual homes is now gaining traction in the real estate industry to basically offset some of your costs.
Oh, here
experts
we go.
Are thinking shifting the load to the home grid and basically putting them on houses beside your electrical panel in your home and basically putting this big, giant refrigerator-looking thing outside your house that's going to be a little miniature AI data center. I kid you not. They're going into detail
as
here
it
now.
Was in the days of Noah.
I don't have enough time on this show. I want to get into collagen, but I can tell you probably about 500 different reasons why this is a horrible idea. Not to mention the energy, frequency, amount of power that it's going to use, and why in the world this is a bad idea. I'll digress on that and carry it for another show. However, this goes into detail here. Absorption and bioavailability, why peptide size and structure matters. This is a very long article that he wrote for me. However, it's very, very detailed. It says here, skin dermal matrix effects of targeted peptides. Essentially, the larger study shows when viewed together, the findings suggest that collagen peptides influence the underlying structure of skin, not just the surface appearance.
There we go.
Meaning it has to be from underneath. This is what I talked about.
Wrong foundation.
Correct. When you go in, it's kind of like this, and this is the example they'll use here. If you go in and you put like a topical vitamin C or collagen peptide cream on your skin, it's like putting a new coat of paint on your house. Looks great. Looks way better. The collagen is what puts together the block and mortar that builds your house. Without the collagen, the block and mortar is basically just dropped on one another. I can paint it all day long.
And without the vitamin C, the collagen won't stick together.
Correct.
Either.
If I could paint my house all day long, if I just set block on top of block and didn't mortar it and didn't basically put it together properly and then didn't stucco it properly and I just paint it, the paint's only going to be about, I don't know, maybe a week before it starts cracking and falling apart because the structural foundation isn't set and built properly. That's why this helps out with the skin, because you're building the collagen from the ground up underneath your skin, which is the base of it that has to be strong and built properly. Without that, putting topical cream on your skin is great. Lotion, drinking water, all that. But you've got to have the core base. Joint function. This talks about load tolerance and cartilage integrity, and this goes back to the same way with your joints. You've got to have the right ingredients in order to have the block, to have the basically a footer, to basically have the basically entire aspect of the base of your house done so your slab is strong, and the bone health is the collagen framework of your bone. Approximately 4.2% of the spine and 7.2% of the hip bone indicate collagen is a structural foundation of it, meaning it actually rebuilds your bones, not making any claims on that.
Yeah, I've got a quote from The Shawshank Redemption, which I do not recommend for children. Intense movie.
Wild movie.
And it's basically Redding, you know, Ellis, you know, Morgan Freeman's character says something to Andy.
Yeah.
And he goes, I guess it comes down to a simple choice, really. Get busy living or get busy dying.
Yeah.
And you think, why would Ted say that? Get busy living, taking care of yourself, having a great life, being blessed by the Most High God, or start eating all the junk you want to eat all the time, eating all this garbage, and get busy dying, because one of the two is going to happen. That's why the Bible says in Deuteronomy, and it says, either you choose life or you choose death.
Yes.
You choose life, you choose death, but you choose. And then it gives them all the points of being alive, and it talks about diet and eating clean. That's why I brought this up, and all the stuff about if you don't do this, how you're going to die with these horrible diseases.
And this is the conclusion it says, with the advanced peptide formula put together, all three is structured around this principle. By combining peptide systems associated with skin, joint, and bone outcomes, it reflects how collagen decline actually occurs in the body. These changes rarely occur in isolation. Skin aging, joint discomfort, and gradual loss of bone density often develop together over time. Think about that for a second. The formulation that we put together addresses multiple collagen-dependent tissues. It is therefore more consistent with both clinical evidence and real-world physiology than a single-source collagen product. Very rarely does somebody go and have absolutely horrific skin and their joints and bones are just incredible. On every level, they feel great.
Whole body's falling apart
in most cases. That's how it occurs. That's why we put together the three in here to answer your question on that.
You can tell by the walk. Remember Linda Ronstadt had a song one time. It was a Snoopy Doo song or whatever. And it was, you know, it says you can know them. You can know that he loves you by their kiss.
There you go.
Great song. It's a funny song. But it also, you can tell that somebody's healthy by their walk.
Yeah.
And how they sit and how they stand and what kind of posture they have, and if they're all crumpled over, and if they're walking with a real slow gait and they can barely move and they're inflexible, that's indicative of their entire body falling apart inside out. That's what it's indicative of. It's very important you understand that. Oh, by the way, it's almost 10:58 right now. I'm looking at my clock. If you notice me looking up here, I got a big clock up there now.
I got a big clock up here now.
So I don't have to look over here anymore.
We move them around the studio.
So God loves you. So do I. I want to thank you for your support. I want to thank you for supporting Health Masters. I want to thank you for being here for us and praying for us all the time. I'm here praying for you. I prayed for you again at the altar on Saturday night. You guys are absolutely amazing. And if it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't be here. So we thank you for getting your vitamins from us. We thank you for building a good foundation and that you're getting busy living. That's what I got to say. Get busy living. And you guys are just awesome to me. I appreciate you so much. Awesome. What do you want to close up with?
Be sure to check out the podcast on browershow.com. Get updates. Sign up for the free weekly newsletter to you every single day with updates on products, sales, specials, and the show. And also, too, collagen peptides. You voted. It won. It's got two more days on sale. So we're just talking about here the advanced formula with three different collagen peptides, all grass-fed, extremely absorbable, taste flat, add no flavor to it, but it mixes up incredibly well. Be sure to check that out at healthmasters.com, on sale right now. Have a fantastic evening, my friends. Continue to do your research and get the truth out there every single day. I appreciate you guys for having that and supporting us on that. Have a fantastic evening. We'll talk to you on this show tomorrow, as always.
thanks for being with us, and thanks for referring our show to your friends. If it wasn't for you guys doing that and us trying to get as many people to listen to the show as we possibly can, we couldn't help those individuals who don't know about us. So we're building a really big platform, and it's a really big market out there on YouTube. And we thank you so much for just forwarding those texts to your friends. And thank you again. And we so support all of you. And just, I'm humbled to be here with you. I love you guys.